here receive the word with joy, and these have no roots, for they believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they who have heard, and going their way are choked with the cares of and riches and pleasure of this life, and yield no fruit. But that on the good ground are they who in a good and perfect heart, hearing the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit in patience. The word of the Lord, I have from the Father. Dear friends, and the Most Holy, our Most Holy Mother Church is preparing us for Lent, and He wants to be a good ground, disposed, prepared, perfect, humble, to receive our Lord, our Lord's words, our Lord's desires, our Lord's preaching, so that we may bear fruits, yes, a hundredfold. So, how to explain, yes, this gospel, learn to draw, yes, some teaching for us. So the teaching is the following. First, our Lord is the sower, God Himself, who throws, so He gives the seeds to us. He give it on a daily basis to us, through the preachers, through our catechism and the saints and books and tradition, all that we to know, to grow in holiness. It's the first point. So we have to receive the seed of God with reverence, with respect, with interest, with love. It's the first point. The Holy Cure of Ars says that we must receive the word of God, that we receive the Holy Eucharist. It's divine, it's something divine, so you have to receive it with a great respect, great joy, interest, desire, respect. You see why the Benedictines read the Lex Divina and kneeling is the way to do it for us. Decided to keep that respect, that honor, love for the word of God. And to be ready to submit, and to be ready to follow. So this is the dispositions and which foster we will try to develop. But we have to meditate also. So this parable. So first, when our Lord said that some seeds fall upon the side way, on the way, by the wayside, yes, and this was trodden down. This is really important to meditate because you notice. For the seed to be able to bear fruits needs the ground to be soft, work, being removed, being with moisture, rain, and nutrients. It has to be worked out, removed, and being soft. Especially humility, penance, is obedience, docility, God working by the crosses, removing the bad things and allowing it to breathe the air, the rain and the sun. But what happened with the wayside ground? Because these people is stepping upon it, becomes harder and harder and harder. It's packed. So if you throw a seed on the wayside, we know it. Especially those people who are very superficial, the Catholic religion, with the Word of God. They are indifferent. They are not prepared, don't prepare themselves for to receive graces, to pray, or to be grateful about something that they receive. There is no preparation, there is no acceptance of the cross, precisely. It's no softness, it's not humble. And with the preparation, we can do nothing. So these positions is what we need first, as a first step, in order to receive the Word of God. It's what our Lord said in the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. The publican has a good disposition, kneeling, hitting his breast in the compunction of repentance. He has the dispositions to receive the forgiveness of his sin. But the Pharisee, even if he had less sins, he had no dispositions. Standing, proud, praising himself, no repentance. He received nothing. On the contrary, he committed more sins. He left the temple without being justified at all. So this is the first point, how to work to help our Lord by disposing ourselves. And this is why the fowls of the air, the body, the devils, comes. It's very scary because we have to be given account of all the graces given to us. If we don't fructify them, we will be culpable and we will be punished by that. Scary thought also because all the graces are connected in the plan of God in order to bring us to heaven. So if we despise graces, we don't receive them because it's our fault, our negligence, we break the chain of graces. And God may not give us the next grace we need. He's not like to give us to us. So we might be lost if we keep despising graces. Also, the fault of the birds, the devil steals the seed. Because, of course, because we don't appreciate it, we don't give value to the Word of God, because we don't prepare to receive it well. Therefore, it's at the outside, it's able to be stolen. But if we are humble, if we appreciate it, we want it, we desire it, we prepare our ground, the seed goes inside, and the birds will not be able to steal it. We will not be stolen by the birds. It's why some marvels, parables of our Lord, marvels, because you discover many things. By making the comparison between our life and the seed that we can sow in a field. So we can see even in the battle of tradition. You notice our first banner, the priority is the faith, to defend the faith. So anyone who places an important priority, something above the faith, precisely are those who are not receiving the seed, which is the Word of God, the faith, with the right positions, and therefore it's stolen easily. It's taken away from them, and God will not give them more grace to be faithful to that grace, the first grace for the faith. So another seed fell upon a rock. So this is also we put the parallel of this our Lord's comparison, the rocks, to the gospel when he says that the seed which doesn't want to die remains alone, dies alone, will not bear fruits, and it's an image of hell, of one eventually going to hell, because hell precisely is a seed. We didn't bear fruits and was bare and wanted to be like that, like a rock. And was brought to hell without fruits. Our Lord said, no? The tree which do not bear fruits will be cut down from the roots and will be thrown to the fire. So the seed which doesn't want to die is like the rock. So because he's among rocks, means proudful. They live for themselves. They don't want to die. They don't want to be soft ground. They want to be humble. So they're rocks. They live among rocks. They want to live with rocks, like rocks. Of course, the seed comes and will die. Our Lord says, as soon as it was sprung up, it withers away. It has no moisture. So it's not ready. It's not humble. It's not penitential. Doesn't love the cross or the preparedness of the ground. So it doesn't give root. It's not rooted. Dies, withers away. So many of us, Catholics, happen to us. Just make an examination of conscience. How many times, for our pride, we despise a grace, or we are indifferent to a grace, to a sermon, to an inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and we said, no, I prefer my opinion, I prefer my free time, my whatever. It's why Saint Benedict, Saint Benedict, yes, placed precisely the foundation of the monastery in humility. Through humility, obedience, which is humility in practice, is obedience. He said, without that, you can do nothing. Because the ground has to be ready to receive moisture. The Son of God, the Son, which is represents precisely God's action upon us. And the rain, water, represents grace, which is able to penetrate the ground in order for us to keep growing the spiritual life. So what happened to a rock? A proud man, which the seed becomes a rock, hard, doesn't want to die. You put water in a seed which is outside among rocks, will happen nothing. Nothing will happen. Even the sun, nothing will happen. On the contrary, will be rotten. Will be rotten very soon and will be useless, completely useless. And some others, some fell among thorns. And the thorns growing up with it choked it. So this is precisely those who have a love for attachments to the world, to the creatures, passions, pleasures, venial sins, mortal sins, attachment to imperfections, attachment to their own will, to their own thoughts. So they grow like loves, together with the love of God at the same time, thorns without fruits, and the contrary. Thorns are an obstacle, takes away the nutrients and occupies the ground, our ground, of our soul, useless in a dangerous way, because we need more nutrients in the grounds, and this useless cares, this vanity, is occupying the ground, and is taking away from us time and thoughts and will and desires. Our eyes, our senses are taken by the world. This is why the Ignatius retreats, we speak that, and Ignatius speak about that. He said, attachments prevent us of flying towards God, to increase, to foster, to grow the spiritual life. He said, if you are like a bird that has attached to the leg a rope, will not fly. But if you attach a little string to the feet of the bird, neither will be able to fly. Either a rope or a string is enough not to be able to fly. This is very clearly in religious life. Seen very clearly in religious life. Because in religious life, if someone enters the religious life, only want to obey 99%, because they want something, they don't want to give up something, they will not be accepted, they will not be able to grow, they will not be able to fulfill their holy role, they will not receive all the grace that they need, and they will not persevere eventually. So important, especially today, to be detached from all these things. Just a point of reminder for you. In order to break attachments, you have to tackle and attack the most important attachment and fault and defect of each one of us. With particular examination of conscience on a daily basis, twice a day, noon and afternoon, before going to bed even. So we analyze and we punish ourselves about that defect, about that fault. Because if you cut the biggest attachment, the rest of the attachments are weakened, are easier to break. And also, if you strengthen yourself more to break those things. Just to remember, it's one of the five things that St. John Bosco said that's essential for spiritual life, for any Catholic. He said morning prayers, night prayers, Holy Rosary, meditation, spiritual reading, and examination of conscience. These five cannot be missing in any Catholic at all. Never. Yes, so examination of conscience precisely for this. You try to cut down your attachment, our attachments. Because we cannot grow, we cannot improve without these attachments. How many? And the other seeds fall on good ground and yield fruit a hundredfold. You see the importance of this, because it's why the gap is why the Epistle of St. Paul. The Epistle of St. Paul is precisely the best example of the good seed falling on a good ground, St. Paul. So let's see how St. Paul explains how he was worked by crosses, worked out, prepared for being apostle. So the greater the cross, the greater the fasting, the greater the dependence and the humility, and is better prepared to receive grace, to receive, yes, the word of God, and to bear fruits. This is why it's something that we don't finish understanding, that the greatest grace on earth is the cross, persecution, punishment, fasting, being persecuted, being put aside. It's the list of persecution of St. Paul, no? The sufferings. And at the end, he says something really beautiful. After all the list of happenings to him, he said, "I glory in my infirmities. I will glory no, but for myself, I will glory nothing but in my infirmities." Even if he was taken to the third heaven, even if he was apostle of God, why? Because the infirmity that he acknowledged with humility caused him to be a prepared ground to receive more graces and to be ready for God, to the sons of God, to the seed that will fructify hundredfold each time our Lord wants him to do something for him. This is why it's beautiful. This is the whole spiritual combat and battle in this gospel, in this epistle. Have to dispose, keep fighting, keep removing thorns and cockle and those things that prevent us from uniting, being united with God, doing our duty state. And when St. Paul said to take away from him, you know, the sting of his flesh, And our Lord answered, "My grace is sufficient to thee." Imagine, so beautiful. So he kept suffering. He suffered in St. Paul. And the Lord said, "Don't worry, it's good for you. Keep suffering." He'd been persecuted like that and been demolished and been turned around. Because you, my grace is going to give you what you need to keep going, to fructify for me. Because the seed which wants to die in order to bear fruits. It's quite beautiful, and we have to remember that we are here to die, to be crucified, and it's why we have to do the service of God and our neighbor. We don't live for ourselves, we have to give ourselves completely. Giving is how we are going to receive what God wants to give to us. In the measure we give, we shall receive. If we are merciful to the others, we shall receive mercy. Because I finish with this thought. I said many times that we never are tired to speak about our lady. We should never be tired about her. Our Lord said, so if you are merciful to the others, you shall receive mercy. So the greatest act of mercy we can perform is towards God's first intention, first intention of prayer, yes, which is to repair and console the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's the number one intention of God, the most important intention of God, for many reasons. So we can indeed perform an act of mercy towards the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is in the spiritual seven works of mercy is console the sorrowing. So we can indeed console the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's a great privilege to be able to do that. So it's the greatest joy to be able to be crucified for the Blessed Virgin Mary by consoling him, her, giving our life, our time, our resources, and whatever we have, just to console and repair the Immaculate Heart. It's the greatest activity, the greatest calling, since Fatima, explicitly, to win hundredfold the whole time of four graces. Each time we console the Virgin Mary. Really, in the spiritual sense of the spiritual battle, this was the greatest revelation in Fatima. That by repairing and consoling the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we will have it for us and for many. As the greatest act of mercy we could do on earth. Because by doing that for Mary, we will do it in the best highest degree, using our gifts, our time, our resources. And being done for God and for the others in the highest possible degree. So don't forget about this, and let's pray that we may be humble and penitential, especially coming Lent, in Advent, in order to bear fruits and save our souls and our families and my father and so on.